Hey guys, I want to invite you to the Liturgy of the Land Conference on December 13th and 14th. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information, but I want to invite you to join us for a 2 days discussion, discernment, and community with a phenomenal lineup of experienced homesteaders, farmers, and craftsmen. Dave and Lady Pamela will be there, Lady Haley and I will be there, and we'd love to have you guys there as well. Go to liturgyoftheland.com. There's already 60% of the tickets have been sold, so they're going very, very fast. But Sean and Beth Doherty is going to be there, Brandon Shear, Jason Craig, Tom Gallagher from Tan Books, Alan Harrelson, who's been on our show, Pipe Cottage, Thomas Van Horn, who's the owner of Ambrosian Candle Company, who also provided us with candles for a lot of our patrons, Dr. Jared Stout from Exodus 90. There's going to be a whole host of different people there. We'd love to have you guys go. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam and Ann here, sitting with David Niles. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're like eight and a half years in. Just quite a while. I read the other day that most podcasts, there's only like 6% of podcasts that are started, make it to 100 episodes. And then like 1.5 make it to like 200 episodes. So we're in the top like 98%, baby.
Only the Catholic Man Show makes it to 400. I mean, are we at 400?
We're way past 400. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Made it 8.5 years.
And yeah. We're
52. Yeah.
I mean, we're past it.
Yeah, we're past it.
Because there's several years we...
Are we way past it?
I would say we're probably about 450.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty far past.
So we're top 98% in that statistic.
Yes.
Feels good.
Just keep making episodes.
Didn't matter about the downloads.
We make one a day.
Well, there are people that do that.
And yeah.
They climb really fast. How's everything going? How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Got my cows to the processor today.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Because there's around here... There's kind of two seasons. There's the season when I can leave the gate open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the season when I can't. And this might sound trivial, but it is so annoying having to deal with gates. Like if I'm going to drive my truck out to the barn to pick something up or whatever, you drive up to the gate, you stop, you get out of the car, you go open the gate, you get back in the car, you pull forward. You get out of the car, you go and shut the gate, you get back in the car, and now and it's like, okay, that's just one gate. And sometimes I have like to do that with multiple gates just mm-hmm. to get where I'm going, knowing also you're going to have to do it all again on the way back out. It's just one of those things that wears you down, all the gates.
Just wears you slick.
Gates, they will wear you out. So it does. It feels good to be back into open gate season.
Yeah, when are you gonna get
also, you know, just when you take your animals in, it's a victory. It's a project it's accomplished.
Like, I kept them alive long enough to kill them.
Exactly. It's like you have a goal and you accomplish your goal, and it's just one of those moments where you get to sit and like, yes, we did it. Here's an endeavor that succeeded, and so that you know, it's typically it's a good feeling.
Yeah. When are you gonna get them back?
Oh, you mean like packaged?
Yeah.
In like 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, that's not bad.
So typically, you know, when you have an animal, you hang it. There shouldn't there's not really a standard for how long an animal should hang, because it really depends on the physiology of the animal.
Hmm.
So a younger animal is going to hang is not going to hang as long because it just doesn't have as much fat. So the higher the fat, the longer the animal typically it's you know can age better. It does better with more time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll just dry out real fast.
Be jerky.
Yeah. So 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the animal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. We went hunting this last weekend.
Yeah, how'd it go? We haven't even talked about it.
Yeah, it was good. It was, we were just not prepared this year for hunting. I mean, we just like
with the feeders.
Yeah, I mean, we got the feeders up last like a week ago.
No, oh.
and you know, we didn't have the lanes all cut. You know, with chainsaw. You know, we didn't chainsaw the limbs as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we just. I didn't even have my cameras out. Not that that matters. If the, you know, buck's coming out, he's coming out, you know,
yeah.
But it is nice to know the habits of wildlife and like when they're moving and when they're not.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, we saw one doe and, but it wasn't where we could shoot it or anything.
And, yeah.
So we didn't get anything. Luke wanted to come. And get up like early to go hunting, and so I was like, okay, like it's because that's
the
probably
enthusiasm
his first,
of youth.
Yeah, that was his first time to want to like get up early to go hunting. He's been hunting many times, but this is you know so.
But this is his first year where he can feel at all like a veteran,
right? Like he's done this before.
Because was last year his first year, or was it the year before?
Last year was Jude's first year.
Jude's first year. Okay, yeah. So, you know, but still, Luke at this point, this is probably the first year he can really say, like, I know what's up
right.
about hunting.
Right. So we got up there and, you know, you typically get up there about an hour before daylight. So you're just settled. Like, you've already, all the movement has kind of settled, you know. And so you're up there at 6 right now, you know, before daylight savings time, and you're sitting there till 7:15
yeah.
when, you know, it gets light outside.
And the youth season is nice because you're not shivering and shivering.
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot this weekend. And, you know, so by 7:30, 7:45, you've been sitting in the stand for almost two hours. You
uh-huh.
know? And so daylight hits, nothing really pops up. And Luke looks over at me and is like, hey, Dad, are we ready to go back? He's like, no, we just got out here. Like, we have a long time, bud. We just got up here. He's like, oh, okay. And then I looked over and his head was like leaning up against the bar and he was just like passed out on the tree stand. So
but
like,
you gotta be careful sleeping in a tree stand.
Right, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, this is great.
Yeah. If you're in a blind, no big deal.
Right. You're in a tree stand.
It's you know, like it might be okay, but
well, it'll be better if you have somebody there with you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's still so much fun. It's so much fun to clear your head, to enjoy, like, just being outside, being in nature.
Yeah.
I forget, like, how attuned you become to the sounds of the morning time out in the woods. You
yeah.
know, like,
you don't realize how loud a squirrel can be.
Right.
You know, yeah, you'll hear them in the leaves,
the
and
birds.
You'll think, that's something big.
Right.
It's coming. And then you turn around. You'd like, slowly, don't move too fast. And you turn. It's like, it's a squirrel. It's like, man, you are a loud squirrel.
Yeah. But then you get to the point where you're more accustomed to that, to where you're absolutely, yep, there's a squirrel over there. There's
right.
a crow over there. You know, there's, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Because actually, a deer would never make
that much noise. Right.
Walking through the
right.
leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people who don't hunt don't have an appreciation for just the, like, the effect and just clearing your mind when you're out there because you have to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. And still.
You have to be, you're just like sitting there and that's it. And you're being attentive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not distracted.
Right.
Because it actually, it's kind of like fishing. Fishing kind of does something very similar where you, like, typically you're not talking when you're fishing because all your senses are on the fish, right? Mm-hmm. But hunting is that same way. And it does. It really has a very peaceful effect on your mind,
mm-hmm.
right? It just quiets you and kind of, I'm trying not to use the word center because that's just I don't like that word, but.
Yeah, there are very few problems that can't be solved by, you know, just being out in the woods for a while or like chopping some wood or like doing things like that.
I do like chopping wood.
You know, there's very few problems that can't be solved by doing those activities.
You know, that's like, we're kind of going to kind of be talking about these kinds of things today. You know, you and I were talking before we recorded that one thing I think about a lot is when I die and I'm looking back, you know, on my life at the end of my life, which I think will be an incredibly exciting moment to like know you're on your deathbed. Like I will be, I imagine anyway, very excited, like nervous and
very, yeah.
But like, what a moment that you have to feel so alive as you're dying, you know? Okay.
Right.
Like, ooh,
here it comes.
I've been wondering about this my whole life, yeah, you know?
I've been working towards this moment my whole life.
Yes, exactly. But in that moment, as I look back on a life, what kinds of things am I going to want to have filled it with?
Mm-hmm.
What are those things, you know?
Whiskey, bacon.
Yes. And there are things that we all do.
Just joking.
I do want to fill it with whiskey, bacon, and beer. I mean, yeah, like,
but that's those aren't the things that I'd be thinking about.
In a virtuous excellence, you know.
But those would not be the things I'd be thinking about.
Probably the bacon.
Well,
I mean, especially if I slaughtered the bacon and cured the bacon, right? But like the television shows you watched, you will not, you know, I saw a commercial once, like at your death, are you going to wish that you're like, oh, I wish I had found an even lighter beer. You know, it's like, no, first of all, I would never say that, but it's just a funny thing to say. You're not going to care about the television shows you watched. The things that I think you will appreciate the most, aside from like family, you know, spending time with them, the loved ones, but are the things
your spiritual life.
Yeah.
The intellectual life.
I just mean kind of like on a natural level, the things that you did where you encountered reality.
Yeah.
Where you were very present in the world as the world is. And so, St. Thomas has some things to say about this.
Didymus or Aquinas?
Aquinas.
Good clarification.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about it.
Very good. We'll be right back.
Adam, I don't know about you, but I am getting tired of giving my hard-earned money to companies that are paying for things like abortions and worse.
I know, man. The stuff that they're teaching our kids in school, that anti-Catholic bigotry, it's getting crazy what they're pushing on them. I really just would like to spend money without having to worry about supporting these type of people.
You know, that's where Catholic-owned comes in. Finally, we have a way to shop with businesses that share all of our values.
Wait, hold on. What exactly is Catholic-owned?
Oh, it's the app to find tons of authentically Catholic-owned businesses from across the country and finally feel good about where your money goes. They've got national and local companies, goods and services, and they're adding more every day.
Man, I gotta check this out. Where can I find them?
You can download the free Catholic-owned app today and join us in building the new Catholic economy. Just use referral code CATHOLICMAN at sign up. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little Barnstown Bourbon Company. It's from the state of Kentucky. Kentucky. It's a Kentucky straight wheated bourbon. What do you think about it, Adam?
I really like it, but I really like wheated whiskeys.
Yeah.
Wheated whiskeys are probably my favorite. And so I really, really enjoy it.
Wonder, do you know what, does it say what kind of wheat? This one strikes me very much like, oh gosh, what is it? It's they use the red, like a red wheat. It's an incredibly popular bourbon that is just not, I'm just, oh, you know what? I'll think of it later.
Well, it's 53% corn, 39% wheat, and 8% malted barley.
All right. I also really like it. It's got
6 years.
It's
6 year old.
Okay. You know, the wheat, 53 proof. The wheat just gives it a sweetness.
Yeah.
That I really like.
Me too. I like the little the wheat.
It's got wheat on the side, yeah. Of course, it has to be at least 50%. It has to be majority corn, otherwise it won't be a bourbon.
Right. But yeah, I really like it. Big fan.
Do you remember how much it was?
I think it was about $48.
Okay. It's also 106 proof.
Yes.
So
stronger.
Yes.
If you like Weller's, you will definitely like this.
Yeah. I agree.
So.
Okay, so before the break, we were talking about Aquinas, not Didymus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Thomas. Aquinas, not Didymus. Mm-hmm. He has a work that we've talked about before, De Regnum. De Regnum, that he wrote for the king of
Cyrus, I believe.
Yeah.
We actually did the audiobook on it.
That's right.
So if you go to patreon.com.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot we did that.
You can listen to it. That way, if you can't read it, you don't have time to read it or whatever.
I personally am a big fan of audiobooks.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
It's a work that was never finished because the king died before Thomas.
It's one of the funniest, I think, opening sentences that Thomas ever wrote. Because he basically, I don't have it here, but like it's kind of the most comical, in my opinion. Because he basically was like, I'm here trying to figure out what I, a low, poorly Dominican friar, could provide you, the King of Cyrus, on your birthday. And so I decided to write you on how a king should be, you know?
Yes. Tell you how to do your job.
Right. It's like, I have nothing to give you but wisdom.
Right. Yeah. Because he didn't have anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But he had a lot of that. A lot of wisdom to go around.
Yeah.
So it's a great work, essay, letter, whatever it is, you know. It's not really a book, but fascinating. However, we're not actually gonna be talking about kingship today. In the appendix, he quotes some parallel texts like, hey, here's some other interesting things that, you know, might support some of these ideas. And in there, he quotes this guy several times named Avicenna.
I know, he's Muslim.
It's a Muslim guy.
Arabic, dude.
It's not actually his name. He was a Muslim philosopher. He's like something like, he's the son of Sina. Anyway, the reason he quotes this guy a lot is because this guy quotes Aristotle a lot. So
if it wasn't for the Arabics, that we wouldn't have most of Aristotle's works,
which is fascinating,
right? So that's why I think also we don't have a lot of Plato's works, you know, because so Augustine had a lot of Plato's works, but didn't have a lot of Aristotle's, because Aristotle's works kind of got moved to the east or whatever, like, you know, and they were kept and translated and all this stuff, and then we got them back, and then that's when Aquinas, you know, was able to pull from, because there was a lot of Arabs that were coming in to the West, and we were able to get some of those writings and things like that. And yeah, but if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a lot of Aristotle's writings.
Yeah, yeah, that's
which
something
is just amazing to think about.
I have heard this before, but it's something I would like to know more about, just because I think it's fascinating, the history behind.
Yeah, talk to Deacon Garlick. He's really good. He knows a lot about that.
I know him.
Yeah, I know.
So I just thought it was really funny. I was texting somebody about this today just to make sure I wasn't misreading this.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's Aquinas quoting Avicenna, quoting Aristotle. So it's like the triple A's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't quote me with the quote that I just quoted to you when I quote. Anyway, just thought it was funny. So, in this thing, he goes through, he mentions this kind of offhand, which I thought was fascinating, about food being art. And it's like, And he doesn't say it in like, oh, you can make your food so pretty. And like, look, you can, you know, you can, like, you can make food art. He says it like, no, the nature of the relationship between man and food is art. And so the more I read about it, I was like, oh man, we got to talk about this. So the idea here is that when you look at man and you look at the other animals, you see a huge contrast. And it actually, on the surface level, looks that like man is deficient. He's almost at the bottom of the food chain, physically speaking. Okay? Whereas, because he is physically deficient in his nature to achieve his physical ends. He has physical needs that he's just not capable of achieving physically.
Like what?
Okay, food. This is where the food comes in. Man does not produce his own food like the plants do, nor is he capable of chasing down and killing his own food, physically speaking. Whereas the lion has in his nature everything he needs to eat. Man in his nature cannot chase down the rabbit. He cannot go and capture the animal and like...
He could probably pick that fruit.
He could probably, yeah, he could pick fruit, but we're omnivores, right? So there is a deficiency in his nature which does not show up in the animals, right? That they actually, they're born with everything that they need. They have claws, they have, you know, all the stuff. I mean, and you look at a baby, human baby, and it's like, it is the most helpless of all things. Where you look at a giraffe, the day a giraffe hits the ground, it can run.
It's hilarious watching it walk for the first time.
Yeah, it is. And it's like a 6-foot drop.
Right.
Like, welcome to the world!
Yeah.
But, you know, basically all of the animals are, they're capable of like, most of what they do from when they're born. So it just appears that man is born deficient physically. And the truth is, we are. The answer to that question is yes, because we don't have fur to stay warm, and we don't possess the strength to chase down prey. We don't even have the constitution to consume the prey when we eat it, when we capture it. Like if we're just sitting there eating raw meat, you could maybe adjust to that, but that's certainly not the environment where man's nature is thriving.
Are you in the camp that was what the appendix helped us do whenever we were like cavemen or whatever, eating raw meat, like helped us process that? Are you in that camp?
Appendix?
Yeah, the appendix.
I don't know anything. I have not researched it. I've heard that it maybe helped us digest cellulose. So, But nobody knows. Nobody really knows. It's the appendix. When you said appendix,
mm-hmm. You were thinking about like...
This is taking from the appendix of De Regnum. And I was like... I thought you meant like, does this appendix help us digest meat? And I was like, what? I don't think I fully understand your question, sir. So I have no idea about the appendix.
Okay.
So, but you can see, like, even if we caught it and ate it raw, like, that's not human flourishing. The point here is that man uses his reason to acquire all goods. So why? Because obviously man is the best hunter.
There's the separator.
Right. He's the best at hunting. He's the best at staying warm. But he doesn't use his physical nature to achieve these ends. He uses his reason to actually acquire all goods, no matter what they are. And by virtue of this, it makes those things art.
Virtue of like using your reason?
Yeah, by virtue of making it becoming a rational process, the clothing that we wear, the food that, like the way we process food, and now the transcendentals are wrapped up in it. You can't escape. Because we are using the truth of our reason. So all of a sudden, transcendentals are involved in every single one of these processes, in the life of a man as he acquires goods for himself, mm-hmm. they are all actually an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go in, Brandon Sheard is the one who turned me onto this, you know, who like, for him,
this idea, yeah.
everything about food from the raising to the slaughtering to the, all the way to the table is, it's all part of this art, right?
Right. So it's more like craftsmanship.
Yeah.
A craft.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, which I think, yeah, that's a, I like that.
Okay, well, we should continue the conversation on the other side of the break. Catholic Radio is making us take a break.
We'll
support the patrons of Catholic Radio. Listen to these commercials very intently.
Give them all your money.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Before the break, we were talking about like the craft of hunting, the craft of obtaining food. I find that to be very interesting, especially during this hunting season. We are getting to the point of entering into also, you know, Cyber Monday and all that kind of fun stuff. A great way, you should definitely support Catholic businesses if possible. You know, even if they're a little bit more expensive, like be a patron of them. There's a lot of really great Catholic companies out there that are doing really great things. I'm really kind of excited about the ecosystem of Catholic businesses that have been, you know, sprouting and becoming very successful, even like from a not just nonprofits, but even for-profit companies, you know, that are Catholic mm-hmm. businesses.
Like Catholic-owned?
Yeah, Catholic-owned. Yeah, like our, if you're looking to support some Catholic businesses, go to catholicowned.com. Or if you are a Catholic business owner, you can go there and get your business on this free app that puts you in touch with other Catholics so that way you guys can be patrons of one another. You could also support the Catholic Man Show. That'd also be kind of cool.
Ooh, great idea.
Yeah, patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. But yeah, so you're really talking, Dave, about like the craft and how, like, what is what's the relationship between a craft and gratitude?
It's a, yes. This is a huge change that has happened in just like the little things I've done. So we were talking beforehand about that idea, once again, of like, when I look back on my life, what is it I want to have filled my life with, right? And this last year, I planted, grew, harvested, threshed, winnowed, grinded, and separated.
I'm exhausted listening to the list.
My own flour. Okay, so I planted wheat, turned it into flour. And the whole process was very time consuming. I'd never done it before, made a lot of mistakes. Turns out I can do it a lot faster. The next time I do it, it's gonna be many times faster. It's still gonna take a lot of time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
But when we make bread, or like when I make pancakes on the weekend, and I'm doing it with this flour that I planted, that I, you know, like I have so much of myself into this one ingredient. When we put it on the table, I appreciate it so much more, right? Because if it was just bread, if we just bought bread, I don't care. You know, it doesn't, that bread means nothing to me. Because my own art form is not in it, right? And so I have no personal investment into it.
I think the relationship is very applicable for music, for for any types of arts, for poetry, for acting, for any type of art that you try to, you can sit there and listen to music, but try to write your own song.
Very hard.
Very, very difficult to do. You know, you can sit there and read poetry, but like try to write your own poem.
Mm-hmm.
Try to choreograph your own dance.
You want to do something really hard? Don't try to write your own poem that's not free verse.
Yeah.
Write a sonnet.
Right.
Or a haiku. Way, all of a sudden, way harder, but a much better exercise.
But whenever you finish it, you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the appreciation of those who come before you and their wisdom and their, craft, you appreciate at much greater depth, right? This is what poetic knowledge is all about, right?
Yes.
I mean, is this kind of the relationship that you're trying to build up here, that you're trying to correlate? Is like the deep satisfaction and gratitude that you have when you experience poetic knowledge?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And just to have a deeper understanding about the nature of things around us, right? That we all need things, and we are constantly acquiring goods. But once again, it's actually, Aquinas points out that the fact that we have this deficiency physically actually points to the nobility of our nature. Because unlike the animals who have the physical ability to do something, we use our rational, our intellect, and in so doing, we acquire goods through dominion. Because we, through our intellect, take authority over things, and actually is part of the thing that, which seems like a deficiency, is actually a superiority in our nature. But I want to read this, because this goes right here. It says, it's necessary for man to add certain things to what nature gives him. He must needs prepare his food and his clothing, for raw food not treated by art is unbecoming to him. Or you could say the same thing about clothes. If you just had wool and you put it on, when it's not treated by art, it's just unbecoming to who we are. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Adam, about the difference between, or the relationship of, consumers versus producers.
Okay.
Because in America, we're blessed with affluence. Even our lower classes are affluent by, global standards. And so we are a consumer, we're a consumer economy, right? We buy everything, and anything we want, we can buy it. And my story about making flour is really cheap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially at Costco.
Yeah.
You can buy a lot of it.
Yeah, it's like as much as you want. And you can go back after you buy a lot of it and just buy more.
Mm-hmm.
They always have it, except in 2020 when they didn't, right. when they didn't have it. Yeah. If you have to choose flour or toilet paper, what do you pick?
Flour all day.
Okay.
Like without hesitation.
All right.
There were so many things that I was just like, wow, I am really shocked that this is what's flying off the shelves in 2020. Like, you guys...
You weren't surprised? You were surprised by toilet paper?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan.
Big fan of toilet paper. A bigger fan of eating.
Yeah.
Bigger fan of having water. Bigger fan of sustainability. Bigger fan of, like, the idea of having generators or, just things that, like, I really would like to have to survive.
Yeah. I do still want toilet paper, though.
I do. Me too.
I'm hearing you and totally with you. Still want toilet paper.
But it's like, hey, if you guys want to focus on toilet paper, y'all go focus on toilet paper. I'm over here buying like vegetable seeds
and ammo.
So this is the interesting thing about today's world, and kind of gives us insights in the uniqueness of who we are called to be as Christians and the need that we have to be in communion with one another, right? And in previous years, in previous lives, we were actually required to be in communion with one another because we needed one another to have a society, to build a community around us, right? We needed one another much more than what we do now, this kind of independence that we've kind of cultivated. But that's not like society used to, the culture used to actually have natural virtues in which we could kind of grow in out of necessity, right? Gratitude, hospitality, mm-hmm. Being able to, perseverance, thinking about other people, like, you know, there's a lot of different virtues that we naturally had to come by because in this community, it's like, well, listen, I'm the guy who produces all the flour for us. Mm-hmm. And if I don't produce this flour, my neighbor is not going to have bread this year.
Right.
But they have to produce all the honey or whatever, all the meat,
correct.
And like,
yeah.
And then we're going to barter. And I'm going to give them some, and they're going to be super grateful. They're going to give me some, and I'm going to be super grateful. And this desire to think outside of ourselves and thinking about others was something that we just naturally had to do because we were so dependent on one another. And I think this kind of shows you just the beauty of the Christian life and how God kind of set all this up, is that we are called to think to not be so independent, like inwardly, but we're called to think of others. We're called to love one another, right? And
sure.
And willing their good, which, the desire or the definition of what love is.
Yeah, I think everybody feels like today society is just more divided than ever before. And, I don't think it actually is. I think the Civil War was probably worse, but...
I think there were a lot of wars that are worse. I think that we should be much more optimistic than what we are. I think it's very easy to jump on the pessimistic train, and I'm guilty of that, just as anybody else is. But there's a lot of really great things that are going on in this world.
Sure.
They don't get highlighted.
The point I was going to make is just that when you go back to that culture that you're talking about, where people are dependent on each other,
mm-hmm.
where you just, the idea of self-sufficiency was, it was an impossibility. You were simply dependent. And so you could not be divided because that just meant you were going to be cutting yourself off from...
No one wants to be North Korea, bro.
Right. So St. Thomas, he says this. This is in the appendix here. He says, man is by nature a social animal since he stands in need of many vital things which he cannot come by through his own unaided effort. Which is still true today, okay? Now you might have a job where you make money and you can go out and buy those things, right? And in some way that you're kind of doing the same thing, like your job is contributing to the economy. It's kind of a much more sophisticated thing, but it's more disconnected.
It's good for the economy.
You're more disconnected from the people you're helping, right?
Buying a side-by-side is good for the common good.
It is. It's good for me and my family.
And the people that sell me it.
Yes. And me. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Dave Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little Barnstown bourbon today.
Going to Rome.
Yes. Oh, man, we're going to Rome. Not this fall. About a year from now.
Yes.
Yes, in a year from now, we will be we'll have just been getting back from Rome. Very, very excited. We're going to go to Eucharistic Miracles.
CC, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go to Assisi, which now has Claire, Francis, and Blessed Carlo.
Right.
Assisi is such a beautiful town. We're going to end in Rome. We're going to do... we've got a really great tour. And we still need to do an episode. We're going to do an episode just on that. We got that coming up. But
Brother Stuart Crevecore is going to be our spiritual guide.
We have a great priest who's going to be accompanying us. So go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show and you can sign up for a pilgrimage. You can take a look.
Check it out.
Because we want you to come with us.
Come with us.
Come with us.
It's like the Jubilee year as well.
It is the Jubilee year.
So that's like
we get to go through the holy doors.
Even cooler.
Yeah. It is. It's going to be awesome. We were talking about, well, we kind of ended there about whether or not cultures are divided and stuff.
What were we talking about, Dave?
Yeah. Well, actually, you and I talked for a long time between segments and it's like, what were we talking about? And I want to kind of come back to the producer-consumer thing.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to, I certainly don't want to give the impression that, oh, you, if, in order to solve this problem, because we ought not be consumers of everything. We should be producers of something, okay?
Okay.
But you don't have to have land. You can live in the city and do this, okay? You don't need to be growing things or animals, right? If that's what you're doing, okay, well, then that's a very specific kind of thing that you can do.
It's a niche thing.
Yeah. But, you know, you can do this in the city. You just do things that are different, right? You just pick up a different hobby. Because that really is what it comes down to. Find a productive hobby. What is something that you're buying a lot of where you say, like, you know what? I think I could make this or I could even improve it somehow, right? And there's also, if you really want to get in on it with some friends, even in the city, you guys could start bartering between each other, right? Where it's like, hey, I've got this and you've got that. Let's just set up like every month or let's trade whatever it is. You know, you guys figure it out.
I like the idea of hosting people and going back and forth and having them over for dinner. And, you know, as the gift that you bring, you know, in Thanksgiving for being invited to the dinner is like the bartering gift that you're going to offer them. They offer you a thing like, and then that way also is a community aspect. Because what you don't want to do, and I think this is kind of what you're getting at, is the whole producer versus consumer thing is like, you don't want to just be a consumer, like consumer, like, you know, almost like very capitalistic idea, right? You want to be.
Because you don't appreciate the things you have.
You don't appreciate it. And so like the community aspect is what brings the satisfaction and the beauty of the craftsmanship to share the good things that I have with others.
Mm-hmm.
And so having dinner like with one another and then exchanging or something like that is something that I think is, I have a romantic idea about, I guess, you know, the idea of like, oh, this is what we do on the third Sunday of the month is we get together with so-and-so and have dinner and.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought that up because it's really the focus when you're thinking about producing something. And that's kind of like I feel like that's a little bit of a loaded term. Like you're actually like making something with your hand, you know, I don't know. But the focus should be on the household. Okay, so Aquinas here, he says that assistance, this is when he's talking about that man's social by nature, that he needs vital things that he cannot produce by on his own unaided. He says, assistance is given to man by a group called the household of which he is a part. Okay, so this is that primary social element that God created us for, that we're going to be members of this household. Because, like it's really that your family members, the members of your household that aid each other and assist each other the most in taking care of these day-to-day needs. So if you can have a household that's households now coming together, that is the next step. But I think an important point here is when you're thinking about producing and when you're thinking about all of these things, and just how there is an art, right? That all of these goods we're acquiring, what are they all? What are the goods oriented towards? They're oriented towards the family, right? And that is the primary thing that we produce, right? And that is the end. Well, because we might think about, the food, the end of all of these ingredients, the end of all of, you know, the animals outside or whatever is the table, okay? And in some, that's true. It is the end of the table. But what's the real end is the family, okay? That, yes, the only reason we put food on the table, we have this art form, is in order to produce the family. And that is actually the real end of all of our efforts, of all of the goods we strive for, and that we employ these arts to try to bring together in a beautiful way. It's really to build a family.
Right.
And so like we can't, I think that's the important part. So whenever we're thinking about something, we always want to think about the end first. And so start there and just say, well, what fits into our family? And what is it that we can do ourselves? Mm-hmm. For instance, I've heard this phrase from several different very good Catholic men, who the phrase goes to something to the effect of, you know, I used to do that myself, but now I hired somebody to do it so that I can spend more time with my family. Okay? That's a good argument about, you know, and a worthy pursuit, spending more time with your family. But I wanted to ask you, Adam, is that always, and I don't want to like come across too strong on this question, but I'm just trying to like phrase it in a balanced way. Should you always do that by default? You know, or it's like mowing the lawn. Well, okay, well, that takes time away. You know, that's a couple extra hours for my family. Fill in the blank for the next day. It's like, okay, well, that... And let's just say you can afford it. Mm-hmm. Okay, hypothetically, you can afford to pay someone to do all of these things, and now you're winning more time for your family.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing to do? Because it's, on the one hand, it seems like it might be good.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think that there are certain times in which you actually gain more by doing that thing for the family, right? So for instance, like I can't teach my sons certain life skills that they're going to need without going and actually doing them and showing them how to do it. I can't give what I don't have, right? So I have to know how to do it, and then I have to be able to teach it to my sons, right? So like I need to know how to cut wood with a miter saw if we're going to build shelves. And if I always pay somebody to else do it, I can't teach that to my sons because I don't know how to do that.
And they'll never learn to do it.
And they'll never learn how to do it. I mean, YouTube, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
YouTube but it's
very good.
But it's not only just about the teaching, but it's also about like the moments that you're talking about before on your deathbed when you're like looking back into your life. It's like, what do you want to fill them with? Well, it's actually like the quality time that I get to spend with my family. Mm-hmm. By achieving these things that we need to do as a family. So that every member of the family has a duty to participate within the family. Like, what does that mean, right? It means that I have certain duties that my three-year-old can't do. But that doesn't mean that my three-year-old can't have something to do for the family. Even if that means, really, like, when we're folding laundry, he just picks up the little hand towel and hands it to me.
Right.
Like that's his duty. Mm-hmm. That's his thing that he's doing. And so there's nobility and understanding like how to have craftsmanship and how to teach it and how to share it with others. I think that is actually something that's really a worthy pursuit. Now, let me go to the other side. Mm-hmm. And I also understand that you could take that too far and that you end up becoming, like if you have a tendency of becoming a workaholic or always wanting to be doing things or kind of like using that as a way to escape from the family.
Right. Oh yeah.
You know, to have your own quiet time or, you know, whatever that is. I don't think that's good, but I actually think you can actually achieve the first thing what you want to do is like spend time with your family. You can actually achieve that end by doing the things together.
Dude, today your goddaughter, my daughter Mary,
mm-hmm.
Pamela said, I want you to make biscuits, cheddar cheese biscuits. She went and got out the cookbook and made them all by herself.
No kidding?
Yes, dude.
It's working.
It was amazing. And they were delicious. Like, she just made the, she's following instructions in the cookbook. She knew where the cookbook was. It was incredible. But I'll say a little bit more about this on the other side of the break.
Well, we're done. I'm
on the podcast.
We're done on Catholic Radio. Yeah. But thank you to all the Catholic radio stations, like 23, 24 of them across the U.S. that pick up the Catholic Man Show. If you want to listen to Catholic Man Show on your local Catholic radio station, reach out to them and let them know. We provide it for free to all Catholic radio stations. Check us out on our podcast, thecatholicmanshow.com. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. So I was really trying not to betray my bias in my question to you about, like, you know, like, but I just was very painfully aware that it was not going well.
Yeah.
It's like, just like trying to ask this question so it sounds like just a regular question. So obviously.
You're so good at that, dude.
Yeah. Well.
It's like, turns out you have opinions.
Dude.
And they are strong.
You know what? I have opinions even about my opinions.
I know.
Okay.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Dude, that may have been the funniest moment in the Catholic Man Show history, and we've had a lot of really funny moments.
I knew that it was, like, as I was saying it to you, I was like, he's going to think this is ridiculous. But it was profound for me, so.
I had a profound moment.
Yeah.
I realized that I have strong opinions.
Yeah. Did you know I'm white? Did you know that? I come down, I would say I pretty heavily on the side of like a DIYer, okay?
And which is so funny because if you listen to the Catholic Man Show, like year two, I remember specifically you saying like, I'm just not a handyman. I just don't know how to do these things.
And that's true. At that time, I wasn't.
Right.
I have transformed.
Yes. Matured.
With a lot of chaos.
Mistakes.
Like I look back.
Oh, chaos, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a wake of like we had to remodel our kitchen because I tried to replace the faucet one time.
Okay. Yeah.
That actually was a hilarious story, sort of. That day we passed a sign that said, we can repair the stuff your husband has fixed. And I laughed about it with my wife, with Lady Pamela. I was like, I'm glad that's not me. Because I had just replaced our silcock outside, you know, the spigot. Well, it didn't go well. Like, because it's like this thing you stick in the wall. Well, it had cross-threaded inside the wall. So little did I know, it was just like leaking all over the place. So the next morning, it was just the whole downstairs was flooding.
So you called those people and you're like, hey, listen, I need you to come fix.
Hey, I saw your billboard. I fixed some stuff yesterday. You should come over right away. Anyway, so yeah, I used to not be handy at all. And now, I kind of have the tendency, and it's not it's not because I don't want to pay someone to do it. I actually don't want to pay someone to do it. But my primary motive is more of a philosophical one, is that I feel like my house ought to be, I ought to have invest myself into my house. Because that is the kind of thing at the end of my life I want to fill it with. I want to have done real things. Just watching television is, you're going to regret it. Even if you're watching something good or funny, at the end of your life, you just won't care that you did that. You know, you would, if you had done almost anything else, you probably would be glad at the end of your life that you had done anything else other than watch television. And so there's,
I don't even know how many people actually watch TV anymore.
Well, whatever it is, streaming shows, you know, the TV's still on. Okay. The TV's on probably more now than it used to be. So when you do something, when you set out and do a project, there's just, you know, I remember I replaced the siding on my old house. I always felt like that gave me a deep sense of satisfaction for, like, every time I saw it, you know, it's like, man, I did a good job on that. And that was a project. I ended up saving tons and tons of money, right?
Yeah. But, I can't believe you did that still, like, to this day.
And it turned out that was actually an easy project to do. I mean,
you almost died. I mean,
I don't think so. Not that time, did I?
I mean, like, you were up there.
I was up on a very, very, very tall ladder a lot.
Yeah, the pulley system that you rigged together.
Do you remember the thing I built where I put that folding chair onto the ladder so that it could sit on the roof?
Right.
I showed that to our roofer buddy, Mark Gabriel. He thought it was the best idea he'd ever seen. After he stopped laughing and laughing, he's like, but you know what, man? That is a great idea. And I was like, it worked really good. Totally not OSHA approved.
Yeah.
The opposite of OSHA approved. But
where good ideas go to die.
Yes. Well, that's true. So anyway.
So people don't die.
Yeah. So, I mean, I probably take it a little too far. The only thing is when I'm working on projects, I see it. I think it's a false dichotomy to promote the idea of, oh, you're taking time away from your family. Because when I'm working on projects here around the house, my kids come with me, you know, like, oh, we're.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the norm. So, like, I think that's just kind of like your experience. And so
maybe
I think that that's typically not the case.
I mean, but if you're painting something, your kids are going to come over there and.
Like, typically, actually, when I'm doing projects, my kids are not.
Oh, really?
No. Because, like, I'm trying to get this done.
You do have to embrace.
Like, knowing that this is going to take longer. Yes. So, wait, uh-huh. Yeah, I totally get it. But, like, I'll do that for a little bit.
Well, it only takes a little bit.
And
yeah, because your kids don't actually have the stamina.
And then it's
to
like,
sit there
all
the
right,
whole time.
I want you guys to go on, go play, go do something else because I got to get this done.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but if they're playing in the yard while you're painting in the yard, you know, like, it's not like dad's off at the office and nobody, you know, nobody sees him.
I don't do as good of a job as you do, though, incorporating my kids in projects.
A lot of times when I incorporating them in the project, it's like, yes, you can ride in the truck as I go out to the barn.
Right.
In which they love.
Yeah.
And they love riding in the truck so much, they will just sit there and wait for me to need to go back so that they can do it again. You know?
Right.
Just little, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They just want to be around.
Of course.
So anyway, anything else? That's all I got.
That's the only thing you got?
That's it. I mean, I got other opinions, but it's on other things.
Okay. I also don't think that it's wrong to hire other people.
Correct.
So you can spend
time
with your family.
I'm glad you said that. Yes, absolutely.
I'm about to do a kitchen remodel, and I'm hiring somebody out to do it.
There are definitely things.
Because I'd like to have it done before, you know, 2038.
Yeah.
So that way we can enjoy it before I die.
I hired a drywall guy earlier, a couple months ago. I can drywall. I'm not very good at texturing, but I could do it, but I hired somebody. Because you know what? It was done in 3 days. It was amazing.
It's amazing that like
whole
how
thing,
all
start
these
to
things,
finish.
Like it's just a healthy balance.
That's
no
right.
Extremes.
It is. Yeah, you got to pick your battles, what you're good at, what you know you can do.
Yeah. But it's always good to push yourself. And,
right.
Like,
yes.
And like just a little bit further than what you're comfortable with,
uh-huh.
Because that's how you learn. Like I cut like my metal building up the other day. You know, my metal shop. Like, I was a little nervous about that.
To put in your
nesting box.
Nesting box, yeah.
And I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, about that because I wasn't exactly sure
yes.
How
you
it was going
to
go.
And I'm about to cut a hole
in
my
wall
of my shop.
Right.
Is this the dumbest is this dumb?
Right.
I feel like this could be very dumb.
And I didn't know that there were certain things about that that I didn't take into consideration, right? About like, oh, how they actually screwed it all in together. And like, you know, like, oh, I didn't realize that. And now I have to reframe a little bit of it so that way it will still hold all up.
But
and
you
like,
got it.
But I got it. But it was not something, it was out of my comfort zone. Never done it before.
Yeah.
If I had to do it over again, I would do it a little different, but that's how you learn.
Totally. All right.